Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Glad to be here every Thursday night to talk about football, especially women's football, mainly. We need all the coverage in that sport we can get. Not hardly any out there for them, so we need all we can get. This week I don't have any guests. I did write down some questions that I sent to several players on different teams around well, matter of fact, different leagues and stuff, and that I know, and I asked three questions. I'll read those three questions in a minute, and I'm gonna I ain't gonna mention whose the answers were, and I'm gonna read off the answer, and then I'm gonna talk about it and go on about what they had to say, and we'll discuss it a little as we go along. I know last week I was on there. On here talking about these NFL guys and doing bonehead stuff, you know, and making these coaches look like idiots. It happened again this week in the Jacksonville Chargers game. Great player Joey Bosa, you know, thinks a guy jumps off sides. I mean, in real speed, it looked like it was really close to nevertheless, Jacksonville scores. He gets all mad and goes over right in front of the coach, slams down his helmet. There the coach has to go out there and pick up the helmet. And, you know, I'm just embarrassed for these guys, really. I feel like that these coaches and players and, you know, especially the players in the NFL, they ought to be role models. I mean, I know you get frustrated. I slam stuff down on the sidelines as well. But, man, every week it's just something, you know, that these players are killing their teams. Now, I'm not saying that's cost them the game or anything, because it ain't what cost them the game. But what it did do is Jacksonville had scored, and the score was 27-26 at that time. Jacksonville came all the way back from down 27, I think it was, to bring it to within a point. But what it did is that is unsportsmanlike, and he'd already had one of them, but they decided to take it on the point after, and that moved the ball down to the 1 yard line. So Jacksonville goes for two from the one, which give them a 1 point lead. And then a field goal at that point to the tie, and it sent you to overtime, would win the game. And that's exactly what they did. With no time left on the clock, they kicked the field goal to win the game. And, again, I'm not saying that's what cost them the game, but at that point in time, it cost them at least a point, you know. So I just wonder when, you know, when I was a kid and I watched football, you didn't see all this stuff. I mean, they were, you know, I remember as a kid, my two favorite players was Earl Campbell, that played the running back for the Houston Oilers, and Dan Marino played for the Miami Dolphins. And all those guys did was just work, man, put up numbers, win football games, and all these players around the league. And you had people that were great, great role models. I mean, you know, you see them out somewhere, they just – any normal person, you know. And nowadays, man, it's just a totally different world. And it's sad to say. It's sad to see. I really don't like it at all. And, you know, I know I'm a small fish in a small pond, would never get anything done about it, but I can at least rant about it. And hopefully one day I can quit watching it, just to be honest with you, because I'm not for that. But anyway, that should be some good games this week. I know Philadelphia is probably not as confident as they once were. Probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, they was running through everybody like a dose of salt. Now all of a sudden they're saying Jalen Hurts might be not playing again, and the Giants beat them once. Giants are playing good, played an excellent game in the playoffs there. That should be a better game than I believe what people think it might be. And then I think the Dallas-San Fran game, I think that's going to be an exceptional game. I wouldn't doubt whichever team wins that goes on to the Super Bowl. I really think that's going to be a good game. I think the Bills and the Bengals game will be really good. I don't think that neither team is playing as good as they would like to be, but I think it's going to be a really good game. And I believe that Jacksonville is going to give the Chiefs all they want. Jacksonville played pretty good. I know the quarterback threw 4 interceptions, and then they had a ball bounce off a guy's helmet on a punt. And the Chargers got, if I'm not mistaken, got 20 points off of those turnovers. And so they only, their defense in Jacksonville is good. So that means the defense actually, you know, was only responsible for 2 long drives to give them Chargers 10 points. So I think it's going to be a better game than what people think it is. It being cold will probably, if it's cold, and, you know, on grass, I believe that'll help the Chiefs a little more. But I believe every game is going to be a really good game this weekend as far as playoffs. Wouldn't surprise me if they all go down to the wire, field goal, win at somebody late in the fourth quarter, score, even overtime. I think it's going to be those kind of games. And, you know, we talk about it on here most of the time about, you know, parity and these games being good, and that's what you want to see. I know if you're on a team or you got a team favorite and you like to see the blowouts and all that, and they're fine and good, but, you know, really it ain't. If the game's good, people are going to stay glued to the TV. If it's a blowout, they're going to turn the channel. So, you know, parity is good for it in every kind of way, and I believe it's going to be a great weekend for the NFL, as bad as I really don't want to watch, if you don't know the truth. But anyway, we're going to move on to these questions that I sent these girls and had them to answer for me and talk about it and, you know, see where each one of them, you know, and it's odd, and I asked different players and each one of them had played different years and that kind of stuff, and to get different answers, there was some of them that along the line had the end result that they want to see. But for the most part, each one of them had their own idea of how they like things. And that's what I was after, is to see, you know, different teams, different leagues, different parts of the country, no matter where you live or whatever, to see what kind of answers we could draw. So the first question I asked was, what would you like to see from women's football at this point in your career? I asked every one of them that. And then the second one was, I asked, what would you like to see from your team? And the third question was, what would you like to see from your coaches? So, you know, that is true, all that stuff. And really, you know, when I look at these questions that I ask, if I was a player, you know, I would, of course, some of them sent me a lot of long answers, send me quite as much, because they probably didn't want me having to write down all this stuff, because I wrote it down all instead of getting it off, having to get it off my phone every time, so I can read it to you. But the first one was a veteran player, and I asked her her answer to the number one question, what would you like to see from women? And her answer was support for each other and help each other grow and get better. there are all divisions of athletes, no matter the divisions you're in. There are good athletes at all levels, and that's very true. That's why we need more support from each other, no matter the team or league we play in, because the common love is football. And right there is something that, you know, we say, I know y'all have heard me say it bunches of times, that, you know, we all have a league, we all have teams, and we all, if there was another team, who would you play? You know, so we're all in it together, really. We're just on different teams and different leagues. So, you know, that to me, and going back, you know, we watch a lot of football around here and a lot of basketball and first one thing and another. And here's the one thing that I do know is that if you can play, they will find you. I don't care what sport it is. I'm telling you, if you can play, they will find you. I was watching, I can't remember, but I was watching a game the other day, and two of the defensive linemen, one was a defensive tackle, one was a defensive end, and they interviewed them. And they both are starting, and they're both putting up great numbers. I guess they're both all-pro, and you got their path to getting there was two different ones, and they talked about it. One was from Clemson, and one was from a Division II school. Here he is starting in the NFL, and I mean, you know, just really balling out, and he's from a Division II school. So, you know, you think, Division II school, you can't play. Listen, if you can play, you can play. You know, the guy from the middle linebacker for Dallas, he played on a six-man high school football team. You know, there's lots of them out there in Texas and stuff. Just think of that, six-man football team. Now, who would think somebody that good could go make it to the pros by playing in a small system like that school? I do, because I firmly believe if you can play, they're going to find you. So, yes, there are great athletes at all levels. You know, me and Kirkland talked about it last week, you know, about the players that are on the AFE and where a lot of them come from were small teams, you know. Just because you're on a small team don't mean you can't play, and I get tired of hearing it about that. You know, just because you're in a big league, who cares? Do you win? Do you win championships? Well, it don't matter then. You win championships, we'll talk. If you're just in there and you're not making the playoffs and winning deep in the playoffs or winning championships or something, it don't matter. You're not going anywhere any better than anybody else. So, you know, you want to get props from me. Go deep in the playoffs or win you a championship, and you can say you're in a big league. Other than that, I'm not impressed by that. So, if you can play, you can play. So, great answer to that. The next one, her answer to the first question, she's a 3-year player, is, you know, more women of all ages need to get more involved and commit to playing the game. And you know what? How true is that? And we, you know, we've been working hard at, we've got some young girls on the team and here, and I'll be honest, they don't know anything, you know, and that's, we talked about last week. I mean, you earn it, boy. You earn, if you're getting paid, you're not getting paid enough, because you earn every dime of it getting these girls ready to play. But here's the thing, if nobody gives them a chance, where are they ever going to get any experience? You know, they let them play on the high school teams because they make them. You know, my thing is this, if these teams have powder puff teams, which I assume they do, and it's a flag deal, so they're probably playing 7 or 8, and, you know, why not play tackle? You've already got the equipment there. There's no reason to say you ain't got equipment. I guarantee you could get one of the assistant coaches or somebody from every team, or shoot, they contact us around here. We find them a coach to coach them. You don't want them on your boys' football team. Find a place for them to play, you know. I agree with that. You know, I'm not trying to exclude anybody that's older or anybody that's playing, but at some point we keep getting players retiring the sport, leaving, you know, left and right. Who's replacing them? You know, who's replacing them? And for me, I don't see it that often, young players anymore. You get the middle-aged girls that are just finding out about it, that played high school sports or something, and they want to be a part of it. So, you know, it's a totally different situation. So I'm actually for that answer. Like I said, we're in the process ourselves of getting some young girls ready to play, hopefully, if we can learn them the game of football the correct way and know that they won't get hurt because they don't know what's going on or get anybody else hurt. So that person was right on with that question. The third person, their answer was, they're a two-year player, and, you know, their answer was, I'd love to see it grow. And again, here we go again, like I said, and for all young girls to talk about football and know they can play. Get more young girls into the sport. You know, encourage people to start Little League girls football teams and know they can play any sport that they want to play. So, you know, again, and these people didn't have any idea that I was doing this, that asked them, and they may not even know each other. But you look out there, you know, there it is, two different people. They got the same ideas, you know, and the first person, what they said, grow the sport. Well, you know, if we're going to grow it, I mean, you need people, but you got to grow it from within our youth. If you don't get those youth players coming on, we don't have anything. So, you know, that was, for me, that's a big deal, and I said it for a long time. We've actually been trying to get some young girls. Just, you know, the problem is, and I get it, here's a problem too, is, you know, you can't get them committed. You know, they got this to do or they got that to do, and you know, and you can't it's just odd that, you know, they want to play but they can't commit to play. And, you know, so as much as we want to, it just don't happen the way we see it happening. So, you know, it is what it is. And if you can get them, and you know, that's why I think that the getting started with these young girls on these youth league teams or little league teams, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I know, like, there's a little boys team that plays around here, and they start to playing, and we went and watched that tournament they had. Shoot, boy, there was a ton of kids down there, you know, and for the boys, they're just always kind of, excuse me, there's always football going on. But for girls, there's not football going on every day, and it makes it hard for us. And then you get the few that want to play, but, you know, like I said, they play when they're young, then they get to high school, and the coaches don't want them to play, or the parents, you know, are afraid of them getting hurt, first one thing and another. So you can get them. It's what we need to do if we, you know, need to figure out a way to get them. You know, I even told a principal at a school one time, and they were talking about they played Powder Puff games, and the girls was rough and this, that, and the other. And I was like, hey, man, let's let them put on pads and play. Well, we really ain't got pads. I said, dude, you already got pads. You got the pads, the boys wear. There's a lot of small pads. Some of the girls are big. And he was like, well, you'd have to get everybody else to. I said, hey, listen, you don't have to have but three or four high schools to do it, play each other a couple times. I mean, you give these girls three or four games, five or something, to play. Just think what that could do for them, you know. But the problem is they don't want to do it because it's more work for them. So then if you start a league like that, then it takes up, man, you're talking about time, taking up your time, and most of the time parents and stuff are the ones that run that kind of stuff. So you need, you know, to keep, if you know, to have, if you just start them out as playing seven or eight, which is fine, it's the same concept, you know, to make up, shoot, four or five teams, you'd still need 75, 80 girls, whatever, somewhere along there, put 15 on a team or something like that. You're going to need several girls to play. And then, you know, the age groups kind of need to be the same. So I get why nobody has did it. But at the same point, if we're ever going to really grow the sport to where people like me want to see it, somebody's going to have to do it. You know, and I guess everybody can point me and say, well, you could do it, and I guess I could, but, you know, it takes a lot of help to get that done. There ain't no doubt about it. So there's maybe people out there can help us out and do the get something started and help these girls out, you know, because they need it. Because I'm telling you, there's all kinds of girls that like to play football. We see it all the time, girls running around at these high school games or middle school games. They're right down there at the boys throwing balls and the first one thing and the other. So, yes, we need more of them. The next person I ask is a three-year player. Has played 3 years. And her answer to the first question was, I would like to see women's football grow and get the same attention as women's basketball and all the male-dominated sports do. Well, I'm with you. I really am. You know, I try, just said it when I first come on here, is you know, women don't get much coverage of any kind, and most people don't even know about it. They have all kinds of stuff on ESPN that you'd never even heard of, and I mean, cornhole tournaments, and me and Jennifer watched this thing one time of these people smacking this ball off this little bitty table. I couldn't even figure it out, and I'm like, they got that on, but we can't get any coverage for women's football on. But, you know, at the same point, if you start talking about getting the coverage that women's basketball and all these other male-dominated sports do, it's got to be well organized, and in my opinion, the one thing that's hurting women's football is it's not well organized. Now, there's four people start jumping down my throat. There's a lot of teams and teams and leagues and league owners that are well organized, and they might be able to do something like that. But at the same point, you got all these teams in women's football, and they're scattered out from California to the Boston, I guess, or even on up further than that, and they're from Detroit all the way down to Miami, you know, just from one end of the country to the other, Texas to North Dakota, up in that area, I guess, Minnesota. You got all these teams, and they're all spread out, and they're all spread out in different leagues. They all got, you know, the head honchos in those leagues ain't going to give in to the other head honcho in that league. And I think, you know, that's where we're at. We're in a tug of war here. We got some a tugging one way and some a tugging another way, and it hurts the sport. You know, it really does. And I know both some of these leagues, both of the leagues do really good things. But when it comes to helping women's football, they could help it by getting together, figuring out something. And I don't see it happening, you know. And they got their reasons, and that's all fine and good. Excuse me. But I would love to see it. I honestly would, you know. And I know there's going to be lots of players that are going to get left out. There's going to be lots of good coaches that are going to be left out. You play on a small team, you coach a small team, you're most certainly going to get left out. The one thing I do know about women's football is that you have to know somebody or be from a big team coaching or playing to make it to the higher levels of anything going on, like the USAs or the big teams or anything that goes on that matter. If you're from a small team, you're not going to get a fair shake. That's the one thing I do know. And I don't care. I'd tell it if it's sitting right here in front of me. And, you know, that's their deal, and that's the way they want to do it. That's fine. But now I've seen up close and hand, we've played against some of those players or seen them. I don't know that we've ever played against one. I should rephrase that. But I've seen them, girls that have made that USA team that weren't near as good as some of the players that I had, and I promise you. But, you know, they knew somebody. They played on a bigger team. I don't see it. But when we talk about getting the coverage that this player's talking about, I think that all goes hand in hand. I think that, you know, if it happens, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of people upset because you're not in on it, I'll promise you. But the thing is, when the NFL started, people don't realize this. When the NFL started, they had like three or four teams. And now look where they're at. Now look where they're at. You know, not everybody can play in the NFL. I get it. There's got to be a bunch of other teams and leagues. Now look, they got the USFL. They got the X, whatever that league is going to be. There's a lot of the USFL players played last year, made it to the NFL this year. Did really good. So if you can play, they're going to find you in the men's part. Now, in the women's, I don't – unless they just have to field a bunch of teams, I don't see it when you become from a small team. So as much as I'd like to see it from this person saying it, I'm with you, I agree. I would love to see coverage on it. I don't know how they'd regulate it. I don't know how they'd pick who they'd want to cover, things of that nature. But you are correct. We need to be more more out there. We need to get more coverage for you players, no doubt about it. The next person that I messaged me about, they're a veteran player, and their answer to question one was, I'd like to see high-level play with basic skills being in the normal and advanced schemes being used. That would make women's football appealing to any fan. Even though we're not to the point of the NFL, and revenue investors should recognize us for the true athletes and invest in teams and individual players with sponsorships and real income. And, you know, again, you're right. You know, the thing is, how much is your, and not necessarily you, this person, but for these teams, how much, you know, is your team trying to get out there? You know, how much of that team wants to be out there? How much effort are you putting into? You know, me and Kirkland talked about this last week, is, you know, how much are you wanting to get your word out? How much you want to be on the TV, your local channels? How much you want to be on the local radios and letting all that? So it becomes part of it. As players, you can only do what you can do, and the teams have to rise up to their part and do a better job of trying to appeal all these people, you know, because a lot of the media doesn't know about women's football, you know. And I think most people I talk to, they're really intrigued about it. And if I can get them to come to one game, they're usually hooked. They're like, man, that's the greatest thing in the world. If they, you know, if I didn't know they were women, I wouldn't know they were women. And, you know, that should be the greatest compliment, you know, to be able to go play the sport. Not that we want to try to compete with the guys, but to be able to know that you're out there playing a sport that guys or boys have been playing their whole life, and if the people didn't know you were women, they wouldn't know. That should be a great accomplishment. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's, you know, for me, all that falls on the team. As an individual player, all you can do is play and hope you get the better, get better coverage, and hopefully someday we won't keep having this conversation. But I know this, it's been since I've known about women's football, which I guess was in 2013, is when I first got introduced to women's football. It's been the same talk. Now, the effort at that time wasn't near what the effort is on a lot of these teams and stuff now. But, yes, it was definitely the talk then. And we're 10 years later, and we're really – we might be a little closer for some teams to get covered, but as a whole, you know, we're no closer than we were, I don't think, then. There is coverage. Like, we do get more coverage, like the live stream games. Like, every WNFC game is live stream, you know. And here in the USWFL, we're going to try to live stream all these games. I know that we're at least going to live stream one home team every week, you know. Make sure that each home team gets a live stream game. And I think most of the teams are going to try to do it when on their own, too. So, you know, that helps them. But as far as getting out there, getting this big sponsorship, getting this big money TV deal, I don't say that we're no closer than we were. So there it is. The last person that I polled or asked, this is their second year playing, and they were, you know, here it goes right back. It seems like I'm just talking about the same thing from each player. And what's odd is they don't know about it. And, you know, a lot more advertisement, because there's a lot of women out there that don't know about women's football. The more people know, the more people we can have in the stands at the games. Who wouldn't like to see more women come in to participate and start their football career? You know, and that's another good saying there. You know, it is, just think, if you know, if people know about it, not only are you going to get them to come to a game, you get them to come and play maybe. You know, it's like Coach Kirkland last week said they were somewhere and getting ready to have a tryout and seen a girl went up to her and told her, and she came and tried out and loved it. Never probably heard about women's football before. So, you know what, it's odd how things work, you know, how we get into stuff. And a lot of times your best players come from just not knowing. Just all of a sudden they heard from this person or that person, and the first one thing you know is here you got players. So, yeah, if you know, and it goes back again to, if your team is doing the right thing, getting the word out, getting it to local places, you can get more advertisement. And here's the thing, as women's football, as we get more advertisement, more news media coverage, all this, it helps get the word out there for women's football as a whole. Maybe not just somebody in your area. Maybe somebody's on vacation here, you know, and hear about a team or wherever you're at, and they hear about it. So, you know, there's lots of ways to do it, but the team's got to do it. It can't be, you know, on the players. So, that's all those questions, answers on the first questions. So the second question I ask is, what would you like to see from your team? So going back to the top, and this is a veteran player, was, you know, like to see hard work, dedication, 100% participation at practice. Amen. Amen. That's a big pet peeve of mine. I don't see it on a regular basis. I don't understand it, but nevertheless, you're preaching to the choir here. So, you know, take it serious. Be coachable. You know, be a team player. Be willing to do what is asked of you. That turns into wins. You know what? It does. You know, here's the thing, and I'm gonna tell you a little something about me, because it sort of affects you and as a athlete and a player and all that. And I played football my whole life, and other than when I was a sixth grader on the eighth grade team, or a sophomore when I started on my varsity team, every year up until then I led my team in tackles. And I was younger on those teams and did, but every other year I did. But when I was in elementary, I started playing in the second grade, and I played middle linebacker and running back all through school. When I was in the sixth grade, I still played middle linebacker and running back. I was the only sixth grader on the team to start. In the seventh grade, I scored a bunch of touchdowns in the sixth grade. In the seventh grade, I scored a bunch more. Come my eighth grade year, I set to break the county record in scoring touchdowns. It was going to be, if I just had a season like I did in the seventh grade, I'd break the county record. Led the team in tackles my seventh grade year, and I wrecked a bicycle and break my leg. I mean, had a bad, bad break. Well, you know, of course, back then, technology, not what it is today. They put me in a great big old cast that was one of them big heavy casts. Well, they, I'm not sure what, I know the term, but I can't think of it right now. Plaster. They put me in a plaster cast, and I carried that thing around for 6 weeks on crutches. Well, this was right, I mean, I broke my leg like 2 days before we start practice. I mean, that the very day I broke my leg, we were getting pads and stuff. So 2 days before we start practicing. So for 6 weeks, I carried this cast around. And then, man, my leg felt like you go out in the wind, it just felt like it could blow it around. Well, I got somewhat better, and I played basketball at that time, and got it off in time to start playing some basketball. But I never really did get faster. And at that point in time, I started gaining weight. And so I missed my whole eighth grade year of football, which, like I said, sucked. I could have did great things. So I go in there as a freshman, and they got a new freshman coach. I'm talking about this because it goes back to what this person said about being coachable and doing whatever is needed for your team. Because I'm going to tell you, I can relate to that firsthand, and now as a coach, because I went in there, and the coach was brand new. He was from Science Hill down here in Johnson City. But he hadn't been out of the service very long. He was in the Marines, and he was a little guy. And he had an assistant. I don't know where he come from, but he had an assistant. And he said, hey, he didn't know none of us from nowhere. He was his first year there. He'd been at city schools. And he said, I want all the people that's played running backs to line up over here, and everybody that's played line, I want you to line up over here. Well, I'd never played line before in my life, so I went over there in the running back's line, and, you know, was over there doing some walk-through drills and this, that, and the other. So after practice, he calls me to his office, and he's like, hey, man, what are you doing over there in the running back's line? I was like, well, it's the only place I ever played. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I can't imagine that. I said, why? He said, well, you just, you know, the rest of those boys are faster and thinner than you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, I get it. And he's like, well, here's the deal. You're gonna play for me, you're going to have to play line. Well, at that point in time, first thing I did, and I'm ninth grade, is I start pouting. I get mad. First time in my life I ever, well, my mom wouldn't let me quit, but we hadn't started practice. First time I ever thought about not playing football. So I go home, and Mom asked me how it went, and I told her. She's like, well, you know, son, that's just the way it is. You know, you broke your leg, you didn't get faster, you put on weight, you didn't get it off. Are you really ready to play, you know? And I was like, well, this coach is this, blah, blah, blah. And I said a lot of bad things about the guy, which she really didn't like. And she's like, well, I can tell you this. If you decide to play, if you don't come home on the bus tomorrow, then I don't know, I need to come pick you up. And that's fine. But if you come home on the bus, that's fine. But just know, if you come home on the bus, 2 or 3 days, you're not going to go join that football team. And if you stay and decide to play 2 or 3 days, you're not going to quit that football team. And, you know, man, I'll tell you, I sulked around. I was mad. Hey, this guy stayed on me like a bad habit. You can't imagine. He dipped Copenhagen snuff, and he was a little guy, and he had to look up to me, and he'd have that snuff all over his mouth, and he'd turn his head sideways getting up in my helmet chewing on me. You know, and it was just unbelievable. I'd never, ever had a coach like that. And I'd always been the best player, so I'd never been challenged at all like that. Some of the other players that we had, there were several players that were great in middle school on other middle school teams. They couldn't take it and quit. And, you know, finally, I mean, this goes on and on and on every day. My mom's saying, how'd it go? And I'm like, I'll just tell you right now, I can't stand this guy, you know. And all this time, I'm a young guy. Don't know what's going on. Don't understand this whole process, you know. And I'm beating up everybody in practice just because of it, you know. I'm mad at the world. I'm going full speed, and everybody else probably not. And they're, you know, trying to tone me down. It just, you know, it just created a deal. And he just keeps on and on and on. And so we get ready to go play our first game. And he says, wants me to come into his office. I go in there, and like I said, I was way bigger than him. And I go in there, and I'm already about half choked up, about half teared up, so mad I can't see straight. I already got my fist wadded up, just, you know, just torquing myself. And he goes in, I go in his office, and he says, have a seat. I said, no, I'll just stand. He's like, yeah, whatever. And he was just serious as a heart attack, kicked back in his chair there with his feet propped up on the desk, and he said, you don't like me, do you? I never said a word. I just kept looking forward. He was like, no, I want you to just tell me exactly what you think. I said, you don't want to know what I think about you. And he was like, oh, yeah, I do, too. And, boy, I proceeded to tell him. And I want you to know I let loose, and there's tears in my eyes, and listen, I was choked up, couldn't hardly speak. I was that mad over not being able to play the positions I wanted to play. I was that mad of him chewing on me every day, really, when I couldn't play those positions, just really made me feel like that, you know, I wasn't good enough. But he lets me get through all this, and then he says, man, you just don't get it, do you? I'm like, get what? You staying on me every day? You chewing me out every day? You're up in my helmet. And I said, I beat up everybody at practice. I mean, I'm teeing off on them every day. And he's like, that's why I'm in your helmet. He said, you're the best player we got. He said, I'm challenging. He said, man, you can take it, and these other guys can't take it. Look how many he's already quit. He said, where would you be if I wasn't challenging? I'm in the ninth grade, never had nobody talk to me that way. And now that I look back, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And from that minute on, he made me a captain. From that minute on, the man never said another word to me, wrong, bad, chewed on me, or anything else. And I got it at that point. And what I got was that I'm on a team. I'm not on Team Dave here. And I have to do what's best for the team. And at that time, we had running backs. I ain't going to say they were better than me, but they were sure faster than me. Now, I was the best lineman on the team, so if they took me away to play running back, I don't know who they'd put in for a line. I mean, I played D-tackle, which I'd never played before in my life. I played middle linebacker all the time. But shoot, one freshman game, I had 16 solo tackles at halftime. I mean, it fit me. It was fine. It's just what I wasn't used to. And because I didn't have my way, I was pouting. Because I wasn't coachable, I was just out there playing and just playing my guts out because I knew how to play the game of football. So if you're not coachable, you're not going to be able to see the field. They're not going to get the most potential out of you. Now, he didn't coach there very long, and he was the biggest influence in my life of coaching as far as me as a player making me better, because at that point I realized what it meant to be coachable and to be needed, you know, somewhere else. Just because you want to play a certain spot don't mean that spot fits you. And if you're not willing to move spots to help the team, then you might not get to do a whole lot of playing. And that's, you know, probably what I was looking at. He didn't tell me I had to play line. He just said, if you're going to play, that's where you got to play, you know. But I got it. And I didn't get it at the time because I was young. But you know what? That's what it means to be coachable. That's what it means to be serious. And if you do that, just like this person said, it's going to turn into wins. And if every person does what they say they do, then those wins come to the whole team, not just to certain individuals. So, yes, that's a perfect answer for that question. And that's what it means to be coachable, folks, is be willing to do whatever you need to do for your team. It ain't always the prettiest position, so, or the prettiest thoughts or whatever. So, yes. The second person, like I said, that two-year player, their comment was this: my team is loaded with personality, talent, and hard work. But if you don't have the willingness and effort to be great, you won't. This year we're working on building bonds and gaining ground on being a tighter-knit team. Our improvements will show in our wins and our sportsmanship. We really do have a great bunch of girls, and I'm proud of that. You know, that I've seen lots of teams we played here at the Thunder. Boy, we've played a bunch of teams loaded with talent. Man, it ain't always, you know, coaching five-star athletes ain't always the easiest thing to do. You got to have a bunch of grinders. If anybody remembers old Lakers, just think of what Kurt Rambis. You can't tell me that those two guys that come in off the bench wasn't better than Kurt Rambis. But here's the thing. Kurt Rambis, if you know football, Lakers basketball back in, they called him the trash man because if a ball was on the floor, he was after it. If there was a rebound to be had, he was after it. If there was a fight going on, he was in the middle of it. He was that kind of guy. And when you got great people, it just takes somebody to be that kind of guy. So you got to have grinders. And if they're all, you know, getting along, then yeah, you're possibly going to have a great team. And, you know, you got to go about it the right way. Sounds like a lot of these girls got their stuff down right, you know, and I hope so. I like to see these teams take it serious. The third person, the three-year player, said to see how all the hard work that comes from everyone in practice and it turns into wins on the field. I want to see us go undefeated. Whoa, that's a big statement right there. I'll tell you right now, it's hard to go undefeated in any sport, especially football. But hey, man, I like it. You know, you got confidence in what you're working for and what your team can do. I like it. I'm a confident person. You know, you got to have that air about you. I firmly believe that. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. If you don't have that swagger about you, you ain't gonna probably get too far. You got to have something. You got to have confidence in what you believe in and what you're doing. So, yeah, I like that. The next person was, they're a veteran player. When I say veteran player, they've played four or five years, something like that. Their answer was, create a family-like environment to build a strong tribe of like-minded women. A healthy environment to get away from real life stressful and build up self-confidence and resilience. And to put competitive teams on the field that can compete with anyone in the league. Give your fans something to truly support. Not just because it's cute or cool to play women's football, but because we're a kick-ass team that puts butts in the seats. You know what? That I like it. You know, if you don't have confidence, it goes back to the next person. And again, you know, somebody back here a minute ago talked about how close their team was and wanting to get, and this and saying the same thing. You know, I've seen teams that were really good that nobody got along. It seems to be the way that if they get along, I guess it's fine. You know, that's one thing, like the Thunder team we had last year, is they really liked each other. Most of the time, I've had teams that, you know, a lot of people didn't like a lot of other people on the team. And most of those girls last year really liked each other. We rode a lot of long van ride to Kansas City. And, you know, some people say it's the best road trip they ever had. You know, it was sure fun because we come out to win. And that was the best thing for me. We drove that far, took care of business. And it might have took us to overtime to do it, but by God, we did it. And that was a great trip for us right there. And you know what? The team grew. I think the biggest thing with women's football is they don't get close because they don't see each other enough. They don't know each other well enough. You know, in school, as kids and college and high schools, you're all the time at practice. You're all the time at games. You're all the time traveling together. You know, very seldom do these women travel together. They practice once a week if they're lucky, if they see everybody. So getting to know somebody up close and personal, which we did in that van ride, it was a 15-passenger van, and we had at least 15 in it with all of our gear and luggage and everything else. So believe me, it was up close and personal. And, you know, everybody not only, you know, had a great time, but, you know, like I said, the bond that they all developed was great because they, you know, they got to know each other. Now, there was some that, you know, that probably wasn't sure when they got on that van because they hadn't been around other players, but when they got back, they loved them. And that's a great thing. So, yes, we're all talking about the same thing here, it seems like. The next person, this will be her second year playing, and it says, I would like to see all of us as a team become more efficient at running offensive plays correctly and come together as a team and a family to win another championship. Whoa. Those are big words, you know, when you start talking about going undefeated and winning championships. You got confidence, and I like it. I'll tell you right now, I don't know who your coach is, but he's probably got some swagger about him, sounds like, because y'all are talking it, no doubt about it. But you know what? Here's the thing. We go back to team and family, you know, and that means a lot in this sport. And like I said, I've had teams that nobody liked each other. And I ain't going to say they may not like each other, may not just knew each other that well, you know. And that's a big, big, big thing, I think, is getting to know. The coach needs to get to know his players, and the players need to get to know the coach and all the players and owners and everybody. You know, whether you like them or not, you got to get to know them. You got to learn what respect is, when to respect them, you know, things of that nature. So, yes, I'm with you here. We're all in it together, and it sounds like, you know, if I'd have polled more people, then we'd all been in the same thing. So why can't we get it together? You know, that's my question. The third and final question was, what would you like to see from your coaches? Well, this first person is a vet, and her says commitment to win and always made the teams and players better. Do whatever it takes. Hold everyone accountable and develop young players and keep pushing. You don't know how much great coaches are appreciated until you have played for others that don't care if you win or lose. Man, well, I'll tell you that now. I'm committed to win. I can tell you that. If I'm not committed to win, then I don't need to be doing it. If I'm just out there to have fun, then I'm in the wrong place, because I can take my time and go play Rook or something else and have fun. You know, if I'm going to put in the time that, of course, I want to have fun, but winning is a priority for me. I'll just tell you, there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts, and doing whatever it takes. I guarantee you, if you played for me or been around me, you know, I'll do whatever it takes to win. You know, and that's what I mean, legal-wise, is you know, if that means moving players around that game or whatever, I'll do it. If that's what it takes to win, that's what you got to do. So, yes, I'm right there with you. I agree with that 100%. The next player was a 2-year player, and her answer was, seriously, our coaches are seriously the best. I played with 2 other teams, and their coaches weren't bad, but they're not our coaches. Having coaches to see where you can play to help the team, no matter the size, is why our coaches make a difference, and that's why they're the best. What I would ask from our coaches is to keep pushing and pushing us to be the best players each one of us can be, and never give up on us, no matter how frustrating it gets, and not understanding what you're wanting to get out of us sometimes. We love our coaches. You know, man, I'll tell you something. It's so tough to get to a lot of these girls. You know, that statement right there makes me think about, you know, working with those young girls again and trying to get to break through to them of what it means to play the game, and they don't even know about the game. How can they play the game? You know, and it does get frustrating as a coach, because you got all these players you're trying to get ready to play in a small length of time, and we don't see them enough. I mean, you know, it's unheard of. You in high school, college, and middle school and all that, you practice. You know, and women's, if you can get them together once a week, you're doing really good. You know, and this seems like we can't. But, yes, I agree, and I'm guilty of that. I'll be honest with you. I'm guilty of getting frustrated because a lot of times I get frustrated because I'll be talking and they'll not be paying attention. And, listen, when you're at the bottom of the totem pole, that means you need to be paying more attention than anybody else. Your attention needs to be front and center all the time. You need to be taking in every bit of information you can. So, yeah, I get it, and I'm guilty of a lot of that, I'll be honest with you. One of the other people was, she played 3 years, this will be her 4th, says, I would like to see more passion and motivation. And the question for the coaches is, why coach an all women's team? That's what I got from her. And I'll tell you, my goal was to never, you know what, if I'd have had 1 ounce of ever thinking I was going to coach, period, I'd have went and got a teaching degree. My brother did, and my mama begged me to, and I just hated school. You know, I never, once I got out of high school from playing football, I started team roping while I was in school, and once I got out of high school, and I still hung up on playing for years I went and played every weekend that I wasn't playing roping, because I just couldn't get it out of my system. But roping is what I took up, and I ran with it. And going to school at that time and coaching was the furthest thing from my mind as you could get. So, you know, coaching this women's team just sort of fell on my shoulders, and you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't want to coach. I wouldn't mind to coach a single A or something high school team. But other than that, I wouldn't want to coach these guys or men. I mean, they're just too much for me. I don't need all that stuff and everything else that comes along with it. I don't need. And, you know, these women, you know, we just worked with some young girls last night, trying to get them up to speed. And you know what? That I think most of the coaches I know couldn't scratch the surface on knowing what to do with players like that. And we've took players like that and won a bunch of football games around here. So, you know, unless it would be a single or double A high school team, I wouldn't coach nothing but women. You know, and like I said, it never was my goal. It just sort of fell on my shoulders to coach this Thunder team, and I took it and ran with it and hadn't looked back. So that's where we're at. And it's been a blast, I'll be honest with you. Lots of times I get frustrated, and my biggest frustration, I'll tell you, is players not coming to practice. That's my biggest frustration, is everybody else can donate their time. Everybody else can dedicate their time. But for some reason, somebody always got a better excuse than to show up for practice, no matter what it is. So that's my biggest pet peeve. Let me get through these here. We're about out of time. I'm about to the end. The other veteran player I talked to said, high-level knowledge and care about our athletes and share the same goals as the players do. Understand we are here to be real football players. Also respect behavior to players, competitors, and even the refs. Well, I guess I fall short on a lot of that, because I show respect behavior as much as I can. I don't give much to the refs because they usually suck. They make terrible calls, cost you games, and don't have a bit of regret about it. So sometimes, you know, I've got along with them. Sometimes not so much. But, you know, it is what it is. And I agree. You got to, if you're going to get respect, you got to show respect. So, you know, I've always tried to show respect to the competitors, even when we've got beat, because I don't like to get beat. I don't like to lose. So, yeah, it's tough. But you got to. You know, it's the right thing to do. You get them next time. You know, the biggest thing for us last year is we were winning every game. The games we were winning, we didn't win every game. Games we were winning were one-score games, one-point games and all that. You know, and then we come in, lose our quarterback on Thursday, have a big game on Saturday. We get blew out, have three linemen that decide not to show up that day. Had a quarterback we hadn't practiced any at all. We got beat. We got beat bad. We turned it over like eight times. Got beat 25-0. And, you know, man, this coach, I done talked to him on the phone. And this guy thought he was Bill Belichick, man. He come across through there, and they say I got a stud. I don't think I do. They say I do. This guy comes across through there with his chest bowed out like he just won the Super Bowl. Hell, it's tough. But you know what? That's the game in Kansas City we went to and beat them in overtime. They beat us 25-0 here, and we go there, drive all that way, and beat them in overtime. And guess what? That chest of his wasn't stuck out so much that day. But because I walked across the field in defeat, I sure walked across through there in victory. So I get it. I get it. I'm with you there. The last and final person, their one-year player. And here's what they say. I would like to see more people being able to try more positions and continue the great practices and drills with the aim of helping players improve at playing and winning the game. Well, you know what? My comments on that would be, and is every player. Well, if I here's the thing, as a coach, when you think about it, you know, I go back to that guy that was on me, is you got to have an idea where these people can play. And yeah, I get sometimes you overlook somebody and you go back and you pick them up, say, hey, I made a mistake. You can play here, they can play there. But you know, as a player, and it took me forever. I'll tell you, folks, it took me weeks and weeks to understand that. But as a player, you got to understand, just because you think you're better than this person doesn't mean you are. If you got coaches that see both of you and are not biased in any way, there's a difference there. And just because a player thinks they can be a better quarterback than the other, when clearly, you know, the completions in practice are not there, the lack of preparation is not there, the fumble snaps, whatever, is not there. I mean, at some point, as a player, you got to stand up and say, hey, I just got to play where it's best suited for me, you know. So I get, you know, and another thing is, we don't get to see here, we don't get to see players play or at practice enough because we don't get to practice enough. If we practiced every day, I could give every single player a chance at every single position. But because we don't, we have to sort of put people in a couple different positions, maybe learn them a running back and a tight end or whatever, and try to get, you know, that done in a defense position. Because we don't see these people enough to. If you drug it out, you'd never get through a practice, you know, if you get to. And, you know, you just got to understand, as a player, it's where best suits me. And you know what? Sometimes it's not what they want to hear. I've seen people quit, you know, because you might want them to play line. They didn't want to play line. They wanted to play running back. Well, you know, the thing is, it's like that, you know, you can play running back, but if you're not in the top three or four, you know, you're not going to get no playing time. I mean, we're in it to win it. You know, that's the bottom line. We're in to win, and I'm not in to pacify people. So sometimes it just happens that, you know, you don't get to play the positions you want. Now, I'm not saying you can't ever. As far as I'm concerned, you can go work and get better. I mean, case people don't know, Michael Jordan got cut from his freshman high school team. And when they talked to him about it, he says, the coaches were right. I wasn't in the top 10 or 15, whatever they cut. But I went and worked hard, and I made the team. So, yeah, I mean, but the problem is, how many are going to do that? I mean, that's what we see in women's is they don't come to practice because of work or their situation. So how much work are they going to put in if they want to play running? I'm not saying they didn't. I don't even know, you know, what position we're talking about. I'm just using running back. But if you want to play running back and the coaches don't think you can, and, you know, for instance, they say, hey, we'd love for you to you know, you need to be faster. You know, you're too slow. And a lot of offenses happen, you know, sure, you might need a grinder, a pounder, but if, you know, if you're running outside those tackles, you got to have somebody that's got some quick feet or some quick speed or blah, blah, blah here and there, you know. So it's a different deal as a coach is when you're looking at players versus being a player thinking, oh, I can play here or I'm better than this one or I'm better than that one. But when, you know, you're just looking at you, and it happens all the time. And I think, you know, it's just a habit that people just naturally think they're better than somebody else. And I mean, it's not a bad thing, but you got to prove it in a coach's eyes, you know. So it's a tough situation. I mean, it puts coaches, you know, especially at this level, in a tough situation because these girls that do show up all the time, a lot of them are not your your best players, and you need to play them, you know, because like me, I harp on practice is huge, you know. One thing that makes me mad is when people don't make practice. So it's a tough deal, but if you're one of those, you need to give everything you got. I mean, not just showing up, don't cut it. You got to give lots and lots of effort when you get there, because you need, when the coaches use you, you need to be able to perform. So, anyway, great comments tonight. I really enjoy that, asking these questions, because I like to get answers from all around different people within women's football, and not know none of them knew what the other one was going to say. So, and we were really close on a lot of that. And we get to talk about women's football for the whole hour, which is what I like to do. I like to promote it. I wish we could get more people involved, you know. So, who knows? Looking forward to, we got practice this weekend. I'm looking forward to that. Hope everybody shows up ready to work, you know. I hear people like these girls talk about, I want to win. Well, listen, winning comes with a price. Being undefeated comes with a big price. That means hard work, dedication. Every time you get an opportunity, you've got to take advantage of that. And I'm not just talking about one person. I'm not talking about two people. I'm talking about if you got 20 on your team or 22 on your team or you got 50 on your team. That means everybody has to be there putting out the same amount of effort every single time, because winning a game is tough. Winning any football game is tough. You know, just like Jacksonville last week, that guy threw four interceptions in the first half. That's unbelievable. You know, and they come back and win the game. I'm not sure in women's football that would be possible unless you have that kind of quarterback. So the ball bounces the wrong way. What about the ball hitting the guy in the helmet? He's trying to get out of the way of it, didn't know where it was, and it hit him in the helmet. That's the kind of stuff a lot of times you can't control. You know, I used to tell these girls, you know, to win championship, that ball just has to bounce your way a time or two. You just have to have a few of those breaks that you don't normally get or you haven't got. They've just got to go your way if you want to win a championship. So the rest of it you have to earn, you have to go take. You can have two teams. Just think if you got two equally teams playing, and the team that gets all the breaks, they're going to win that game. And sometimes it's just the way the ball bounces. You know, I've seen those quarterbacks, ball go over their head and it bounced one time right up in their arms. Then the next time you see it bounce over the head and it rolls plumb out of bounds. I mean, it's just crazy. So all that stuff has to come into play if you're going to win championships and go undefeated. I love the attitudes of those girls. I wish them the best. I hope that they can pull that off, because it's tough to do. I'll tell you right now, it's real tough. But, hey, we're out of time for tonight. I'll see what I can round up for next week. Might try to get a guest or something on, see what's happening. If you got practice this weekend, no matter who you play for, go give it everything you got. That's how you're going to win. That's how we're all going to be successful, because we're all on the same team. Really enjoyed tonight. Appreciate everybody giving me their answers to my questions and taking the time. Some of them really sent in a lot of stuff and a lot of good stuff. Appreciate all of them taking the time to send it to me. So until next Thursday, see you then.